3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that
pretty simple, so I think everybody could kind of try to join us. We'll sing it again.
The John 3:16 version?
Yeah, same thing.
I'll lower it a little bit.
John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved
share one more verse that Rachel was quoting today, James 1:17, for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. John 3:16, a great Christmas verse, isn't it? Greatest gift of his own son. Okay, do we have a favorite number from someone's favorite Christmas song? If not, I have lots of them. Okay. Mr. Christmas himself. Dan wants to start singing those November 1st. I. O come, Emmanuel. 208.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thy advent here. Dispense the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. May make safe the way that leads on high, and show the path that brings us nigh. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Okay, he fulfilled that promise, didn't he? Emmanuel, God with us. But he's coming again as well, and he will keep that promise as well. So, okay, at this time, how many have learned Luke 2, 1 through 14? A few of you? Okay, all those that have learned it in the old King James, because that's the only way I learned it, come on up. Old King James, yes, the old book is the best book of all. I might be a little rusty, so I need as much help as I can get. I don't think we'll get stuck.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to sing at this time 167. We don't think it's a Christmas song, but it's called In His Time, and then Kim is going to come up and share some thoughts on that. 167. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I know I've heard it. I don't know if we've ever sang it, so it's good to learn new things, isn't it? Say yes, it's good, yes.
In his time, in his time, all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time.
Thank you. Remember that Jesus was born in the fullness of time, and they had to wait a long time for him to come, didn't they? Okay, Kim.
Well, Merry Christmas, and just want to say all glory and honor and praise to our Savior, Jesus Christ. This song, I play a few of these hymns on the piano, and I was playing this a while back. It's a real simple song, as you see, and I started thinking about it a little bit, and so he undoubtedly makes all things beautiful in his time, doesn't he? So I just want to share a few thoughts with you real quick. And I called it, In His Time. The Christmas season has become so commercialized. But if you're attentive, you can still depict some of the wonders of the Christmas story all around you, from the few outside nativity sets to the Christ-honored greeting cards to the praiseworthy Christmas carols. But can we really reduce, do we really limit the scope of God's redemptive love story to these bits and pieces? Never overlook the way bigger picture of what God was doing in the world 2,000 plus years ago. And the Apostle Paul summed it up perfectly in one verse. And I find it to be a wonderful Christmas verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul stated, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now I'd like to read you another passage of Scripture found far away from the Christmas story in Luke. It's found over in the book of Galatians. In fact, Pastor coincidentally on Sunday read it. And it too is an amazing statement by Paul about this great event. It's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, and I shall read that to you. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's mind-boggling if we put some thought to this verse. When we step back and examine God's perspective and how he brought forth that first Christmas, of how he brought it all together to accomplish his divine purpose, and the Bible simply says he did it in his time. In his time is a phrase that we can easily glimpse over, an expression somewhat hard to grasp, but it's so important because it signifies roughly 4,000 years of key events and preparation by our Father God concerning the exact timing of Jesus' birth. The working of God's hand in his time as he sovereignly brought events upon this earth into alignment with his will. You know, we're so blessed to have God's word that chronicles his perfect plan of salvation. When Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, the Lord promised to bring deliverance through the seed of the woman. And he did, in his time. And then God chose Abraham as the ancestor of the one through whom God would bless the entire world. And he did, in his time. From among Jacob's 12 sons, God chose a ruler that would come from the tribe of Judah. And he did, in his time. Centuries later, God selected David to be the one through whom a king would arise, claiming that his kingdom would never end. And he did, in his time. As the time of Christ's coming drew near, the Lord used a Roman emperor named Caesar Augustus to send Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, fulfilling a prophecy that the king would come from this small town. And then Jesus arrived in his time, in the fullness of time. You know, some people think that God is up in heaven watching and reacting as human history unfolds. No. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his sovereignty, his kingdom, rules over all." Yes, heaven rules. Proverbs 21:1 says, "A king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes." Is it any wonder then why Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world in those days, a man who thought he himself was God, was nothing more than a pawn in the hand of God? God moved Caesar to issue that census decree. God used him to merely carry out God's plan. And God continues to direct every circumstance, every detail of this universe. As that song goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. Nothing surprises our king. Nothing is out of his control. But interestingly, God does let us control our destiny. Oh, he casts his vote for you. But Satan also casts his vote for you. And that leaves you with the final decision. Our Father has given us free volition, that priceless power of choice. Have you accepted the Christmas gift of God's Son? That indescribable gift? As the multitude of angels rejoiced in Bethlehem over Christ's birth, Jesus tells us that there is also much rejoicing and joy of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. Our Savior is telling us how very valuable we are to him. So I encourage anyone that hasn't come to the knowledge of the truth, come to the understanding of how God has worked out his plans and his designs for you, for your good, for your salvation. Jesus was born to die for you. The Son of God became a man so that man might become a son of God. And I read this slowly, just as we sang. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was God's ultimate purpose, the high point of all of God's thoughts, all of his intentions. You've heard the cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season. But the Bible tells us that we are the reason that Jesus died. We are all S-I-N positive. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of S-I-N is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. It is God who determined the day of our birth and God who will decide the day of our death. We all seek to add years to our life, but only Jesus can add eternal life to our years. God will move in his time with all of our lives ending in ways that we can't explain. So don't procrastinate. Make peace with God. Be ready to meet your Maker. God has done so much to bring you to salvation. In simple faith, trust Jesus the Savior to lead you the rest of the way. This heavenly gift from God is available. It's free. Free for the asking. And Jesus Christ is without a doubt the most precious and valuable gift that you will ever possess. So let me end with this. The world we live in today is full of chaos. Things seem to be falling apart. But God tells us through his word that everything is falling into place. God's plan isn't completed yet. But he tells us he will return for his own. For those believers that have accepted the Christmas gift of his son. Are you a child of God who is anticipating his glorious return? Is he your blessed hope? Jesus, perhaps, may come tonight, but he's coming back in his time.
Thank you, Kim. A good reminder and challenge to us. Do we really know the Savior? It would be tragic to spend eternity in thinking that you're going to heaven and you end up in the wrong place. So there is two destinations, and we have to make that decision to trust the Lord. Okay, we're going to sing. I lost it already. 189. O come all ye faithful. It's amazing how many songs, 189, have the word come in them. And that's because the Lord gives us an invitation to come. O come all ye faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven. above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I want to stand on verse 3. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Okay, now I believe Ellen and David are come and share with us.
We have a couple poems here by Paul David Tripp and a few verses. And David will start out by reading 2 Corinthians 8:9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
This one is entitled This One. The little one who was born outside the circles of power would someday die outside the city walls. That child, not recognized in halls of wisdom, was wisdom come to earth. The little one who would soon flee for his life came to be the giver of life. This one who would know so much rejection would purchase acceptance for all who believe. This one, who would know hunger, came as the bread to satisfy hungry hearts. This little one born with no home came to secure our heavenly home. This one, who would have no throne, came to establish his throne in the hearts of his own. This one, who would be forsaken by his own, came so we would never be forsaken. All that we would not want to face, all that we would not want to endure, all that we would not want to suffer, he faced, he endured, and he suffered righteously, willingly, and lovingly for this one thing, our salvation.
Jesus said in John 6:38-40, "For I came not down from heaven, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life."
You came. It's unbelievable. Unimaginable. It's beautiful. In love different than ever seen, you left glory to display glory to those who had forsaken glory for earthly things. You came. Willing to leave splendor, willing to come to a broken place, willing to suffer, willing to be rejected, willing to face injustice, willing to die. You came. Not because we deserved you, not because we earned your presence, not because of our achievements, not because we were worthy of your love. You came, you came, you came, moved by your glory, propelled by your love, sent by your grace, driven to redeem, you came.
Okay, very good. He came, and we rejoice that he came, do we not? Okay, I believe Nick has a special number for us.
One of my favorite Christmas passages is actually John 1:1, because it kind of tells of the significance of Jesus's incarnation. It's familiar to a lot of you. I'll just share some of it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the song I'm going to share with you is called Noel, which just means birth. It's a celebration of Jesus' nativity.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore. Of the world, give
Thank you very much. Good words to that song. Noel, what God has done. That's what we celebrate this evening, do it out. Okay, I believe, let's sing another one. 195, I believe. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort. Let's hear the ladies on verse 2. Together. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and... So the fellows of verse 3. Fear and... Comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy altogether. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. All tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Okay, we have one more special number, Brian and Bethany. What child is this?
Guess we surprised our musicians. Merry Christmas. Just be last time we see your smiling faces for a few weeks. So we cover your prayers. We'll be traveling. And for God's direction with our future. And we're going to be singing What Child Is This? And I think a stanza from I Wonder As I Wander. It says, if Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on a wing, or all of God's angels in heaven to sing, he surely could have had it, for he was the king. And that's who we worship and celebrate this Christmas season. And yeah, hope you enjoyed the song. On the third chorus, the last verse, the whole congregation could join us on the chorus.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are sleeping? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation bring. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
Everybody.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Okay, did everyone else have something to share tonight that I didn't know about? Okay, I was just thinking maybe briefly about this Christmas Eve, the first Christmas, and in Isaiah 53. And we know that at Jesus' birth that he was neglected. There was no room for him in the inn. He was born in a stable. In Isaiah 53:1, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There is no room for Jesus, for no room for the Son of God. Amazing thing, isn't it? No room for the Creator in the world that he created. And we see that in this prophecy, that he was to grow up like a tender plant and in a root out of dry ground. He came out of Nazareth, which was kind of nowheresville back in the first century. F.B. Meyer comments, "The tender plant, the sucker, painfully pushing his way through the crust of the cake ground, the absence of natural attractiveness. Such imagery receives its full interpretation from the New Testament with its story of Christ's peasant parentage, his manger bed and lowly circumstances, fishermen his first choice of disciples, poverty his constant lot, The common people has devoted admirers, thieves and malefactors on either side of this cross, the lowly and poor, the constituents of his church. And he's still neglected, isn't he, to this day? On his birthday, who gets all the presents? He is forgotten under a pile of Christmas wrap that's disposed later, right? It's his birthday, and he gets all the presents. And he's not even invited to his own Christmas party oftentimes. But he's also not only neglected, but he's rejected. He came to his own received him not. Even though he, in his life, he did only good, he healed the sick, he made the blind to see. But for all the good he did, he was hated, ridiculed, and condemned to death. And so it goes on to say here in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He was rejected by men. And he goes on to say that he was smitten by God. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. Rejected of men, smitten by God, the Father. But why? Why would this take place? Well, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. In other words, what we deserved, he took. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He took our punishment. That's why he suffered. That's why God bruised him. But the interesting thing about Isaiah 53 is it does not end with his death. As we know, the tomb is empty. You know, if you want to disprove Christianity, it'd be very easy. Just produce the body of Christ. The Romans couldn't. The Jews couldn't. Nobody could. He was seen of 500 witnesses alive. Jesus is alive. So he's able to save. He's able to justify sinners. And notice these verses in Isaiah 53, verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So we see not only his death, but we see his resurrection here. He shall see the labor of his hands, of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Amazing grace. He justifies the guilty. The innocent is condemned, the guilty goes free. And that's the amazing love of God for us. Something that we can share at Christmas time, right? Just as has been shared already, John 3:16, a great Christmas verse. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. In John 1:12, the only thing that is left for us to do is to accept him, to accept his payment for our sin, to admit that we're sinners, we need a Savior. For it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So that's what the Lord would want us to do, would he not, this evening, receive the gift of his Son, come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He came in a manger, but he came to die for us, to be the sacrifice for our sin. Wonderful, wonderful news, is it not? Let's pray and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the evening, for this time of rejoicing in what you have done, and thankfulness, Lord, for it hurt you as it did the Lord Jesus, for you sent your very own begotten Son, your only begotten Son, to suffer, to be crowned with thorns, to have his hands and nails pierced, to be rejected of men, to be scorned and scoffed at, to be beaten, and to die for us. We thank you that he was willing to bear that pain, that physical pain, but more importantly, the emotional and the spiritual suffering, because you turned your back upon your Son as he bore our sins. But we thank you that his payment was sufficient to purchase our salvation so that we could have hope. Indeed, the Lord Jesus is our hope, our confidant, because he has promised that he that believes in him will have everlasting life. Pray that each one would have that assurance this evening, and they have a blessed Christmas with Christ in the center, Lord, that you could be glorified in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together in closing, and we'll sing 190, Silent Night. Think of the words as we sing them together.